Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, guys.
Bonjour.
Hello, contestants.
Oh, my God, stop. I want to be on this show.
Welcome to the mansion.
Oh, my God. I love everyone's gowns. You're looking good.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we're going to get into the t-shirt and jeans problem I had with the gowns. Yes. Very soon. But this is our special popcorn special.
Yeah, our very first popcorn special of our spin-off queer watching and roasting viewing spectacular.
I'm so excited to dissect and critique everything that's wrong with these people and this show.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Because you know what the LGBTQIA plus community needs? A bachelorette and then a bunch of bitchy gays. You can't have one without the other.
100%. Although, did you see this week that they had a thing about the ratings for this being like the worst ratings for a bachelorette premiere ever?
That is so interesting.
I'm shook.
I'm shook too, but it had the highest, like, I forget the like metric, but it was like the highest like retention rate or something like that with young people. Mm. So like more young people were watching it than any other season, but overall less viewers. But it just sounds like homophobic boomers have just been like, bye bye.
Totally.
And I think it's a lot of prejudice as well because it's not super queer. It's like there's so many dudes and she clearly has chemistry with both genders. Mm. I would even say, you know, I noticed, you know, how with some of the girls it was like more like a friend energy than a girlfriend energy. And that's fine. That happens actually on a lot of dates, believe it or not. But
I believe it.
You know. I'm like, yeah, we can be friends. I can't fuck you. I feel like people just need to give it a chance. They'll find that it's not that different.
Well, I've been so surprised by how, in a sense, seamless it has been. Like, have you guys watched many other seasons of Bachelorette or Bachelor?
No, I have never seen The Bachelor before. As someone who, what? You know, really, really cycles through a lot of reality
TV.
Oh,
my God. This is whole new territory.
And boy, is it shocking. I've never seen such earnestness in my entire life. I was like, I wanted to crawl out of my skin. People just being like, hi, how are you? Blah, disgusting. I couldn't handle it.
It's so cringe.
Yeah,
I'd only watched a few episodes of a random season before.
Wow, yeah. So I'm the most like learned in The Bachelor. Like,
you have to guide
fandom.
Us through this.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's probably a good place to start is like a comparison to like other seasons of The Bachelorette. Is that like it is common that for a Bachelor season, there'll be like 30 women or something like that competing. But for a Bachelorette season, there's usually only like 16 or 15 men. Mm-hmm. They're much shorter seasons and they always give the women less variety, as they've done this season, and there's only 16 contestants. But this season just as a whole seems so much more friendly and lighthearted than a lot of other seasons of Bachelorette or Bachelor, where the contestants just tend to be fighting all the time. But I feel like everyone has been pretty thoroughly vetted to be, like, at least okay with being, like, you're aware that this is going to be a pretty game-changing season and there's going to be a lot of attention on the fact that we've got male and female contestants. So, Yeah, I feel like the contestants are actually pretty chill on the whole.
That's true, which isn't going to help them with the ratings. I'm sorry. I understand that, like, they needed chill characters and they also didn't want, you know, a villain necessarily because it could reflect poorly on the LGBTQ plus community, and that villain would probably receive a whole lot of homophobic DMs.
Yeah, but we do love a gay villain.
But I gotta watch the show. I mean,
well, for this week's episode, we're going to be talking about both episode 1 and 2 of The Bachelorette. Should we just jump in and start talking about their entrances and our first thoughts about the contestants?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, first up, we had Holly, who was in the red dress and she did the, like, slow dancing.
Oh yeah.
That was really cute. But I was like, how do these people come up with this shit?
Yeah.
I would be weirded out by anything anyone did in most of the entrances, but that's any bachelor. But I found, like, they had a cute moment together and there was some kind of chemistry, which is more than I can say for some of the other contestants.
Mm. For sure. It's strange watching this show because people really do talk about chemistry. And in these first walk-ins when they're like, yeah, chemistry, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can you know? And everybody's got a gimmick.
Oh, things move fast in the Bachelor world. It's like, and like even then, the idea that like we're watching the elimination, but in real world time, it's only been like a couple hours and they've literally just had one cocktail party to meet, say hello, and then like vie for like maybe 5 minutes of seated time with this person. It's like there is nothing to base this off.
And God forbid you don't make an impression. What do you guys think of Holly?
I like her, but it seems very like packaged for me. It's like there's not a lot of authenticity is the vibe that I'm getting so far.
Yeah.
I need her to let her hair down. This whole, like, let's slow dance in the rain and look into each other's souls. I'm like, let's chill out a bit.
Yeah, she's a cheerleader. I went on a date with a cheerleader once and she was really intense. It's a no for me.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you went on a date with Holly. I was like, I don't doubt it.
Wow.
Holly, call me.
There's only 3 gays in Australia. Really. Yeah, so I thought it was an all right introduction. And they definitely had to begin with a woman coming down as a first entry, I think.
Yeah.
So that they bucked the whole trend from the get-go.
Yeah.
But I couldn't take my, like, sort of, like, director goggles off the whole time being like, you know, are they going to go guy, girl, or... And then when I was thinking about villains and that kind of stuff, because there's always, you know... The first few episodes of any Bachelor season are always defined by the villains.
Yes.
Because they hang around and they stay for a couple of eps. Producers make sure of that so that we get the funny shit going down. But I was like, who will it be this season? Will it be the men? Because they can be goofy and, like, our attention is probably more going to be focused on the women because they're the standout in terms of, like, queer representation. Or will, as you said, are we going to get, like, an iconic gay villain?
And the
optics of that.
Will there be a throuple?
We did, even in the, like, the preamble beforehand, we got a little sneak peek of a couple pairing up outside of the Bachelorette. That happened, like, in the preview. And then there's Brooke being like, I mean, I knew that there was a risk that there would be people hooking
I mean, she
up.
Was the risk in her scene. Yeah. She's absolutely. Like, I know it because I've lived it.
I know the risk.
And even the men, like, some of these women, like, we haven't, like, had much discussion of sexuality. Like, it's just been like, I'm here for Brooke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so we don't know if some of these women are gay or if they're bi. Like, they might be interested in men as well. So you've got this kind of, like, multi-directional cast.
I just wish there was some bi men so the men could be interested in each other. I want to see
And I
that.
Kind of think there is, but we'll get to it.
Okay, who's next on our entrances list?
Next is David. Oh.
He is a hottie.
He is... I think he is, I'm just going to say it, the hottest contestant that has been on, a male contestant that has been on any of these seasons.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Oh, my God. And gentle. Just, don't laugh at me.
Okay, favorite.
It was the flip of tone for me, like, and he is gentle. And a really good dad, actually.
Yeah, he is. Don't judge me. David is bae so far.
Yeah.
And he rode in on a mower because
that was cute.
It was hot, but why?
Why not? That, like, that's a gimmick to choose when you don't have any other talents.
True.
Yeah,
true.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I want to just put a pin in that. I got something to say about someone's gimmick later on.
Oh, yeah, we love a gimmick. And he also had a lamp, and he was like, I'll give you a wish or something like that. He said something like that because he's Persian and he spoke about,
And she was like, are you my Persian prince?
Yeah.
And it was very Aladdin.
Yeah.
Gay.
And he was like hitting the right notes, being like, I really value my culture. And this kind of stuff. And she's like, I relate to that. And I was like, oh my God, this is good. Sparks.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And yeah, just good vibes from David at the entrance. I thought he's very handsome. It was that at that point when I actually turned to my partner and I was like, I feel like if I was the Bachelor, I'd find it hard not to be biased towards the men. And I was like, wait, if I was the Bachelor, I'd just have male contestants. What am I fucking...
There's something in me that thinks that perhaps I would be biased towards the men.
It just made me think of like the idea that like if I did have like female contestants, just be like, I'm happy to hang out with you. Let's just bitch about the
men. We are vibing for sure. I'll give you a rose.
So did they make it male female? Because I didn't pay attention.
No,
like who's next?
I thought that they would. But then they mixed it up with our third entrance, which was Bo. Who had immediately dud filler
of
music.
Yeah,
I don't remember him.
Yeah.
And they usually do it like that in the order. Like they have like someone who's gonna make it to the finals come out first, so we have a nice introduction.
Bum, bum.
Actually, Bo, I fucking hate it. I am sorry. He was a photographer with a camera thing.
Yeah. Mm.
That was an awful gimmick.
Yeah.
Because Brooke is obviously already got a lot of like modeling experience. Uh-huh. And the way he was like, I'm going to look at these later, made me feel sick.
Oh, yeah, that was chat. That was gross.
It was disgusting. Also, it's just like, I feel like he's as close that we're going to get to, like, a male villain. I feel like he's not villainous at all, but, like, I feel like they're just making him, like, a dud.
Yeah.
Mm. And... yeah, that's all that I have to say about
that. Yeah, like, totally. No further comment, though.
No further comment. I just want to... If you guys have ever seen that TV show that's on Stan about reality TV, about basically The Bachelorette,
I've watched a season of it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Reality. So it's very good... Listener, you're probably bashing your head or screaming it in your car. You know what it is. It's a fiction story about producers who work on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And all the manipulation and stuff in that. And they have a phrase called wife material.
Mm.
And they split people up into like slutty wife material and villain. I think David is wife material, and then Bo was the closest thing we have so far to a male villain.
True. Yeah.
Definitely. Something to think about.
Yeah. It's the Madonna whore complex.
Yeah,
like they need someone to fill. And then there's always like the crone, you know, like the sort of like vaguely cougarish contestant that like.
Yeah. But you weren't on this season.
Stop it. I'm not dealing well with turning 30 next year.
Oh no.
Next I have a blank space because I didn't catch her name.
Oh my God.
But she had the paintings and the turtles. I'm gonna look her up.
I think it was Ritu.
No, it wasn't Ritu, it was Carissa.
Carissa.
Who is Carissa. Beautiful. But this is a sense of like where my bias to the men kicks in because I literally didn't even catch a name. I'm like, beautiful girl, lovely painting.
That's all we need today.
Well, she is a psychologist, so there's that. I don't know if I liked the painting. I don't know. If someone showed me that, I would be like, we're not gonna.
Yeah.
Like, it's too nice.
And she was so fake because she was like, I just decided to randomly paint you a turtle. And then Brooke was like, oh my God, turtles are my like
totem
animal that I always talk about in interviews. And then this girl was like, I had no idea. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck the fuck
and
off.
And the camera work was really like trying kind of to show us the turtle without showing us the turtle. Cause it looked like, it looked like a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was waiting for her to say that she had a child. But it was,
oh my god! Like bring in a little macaroni art.
Yes.
Oh my god! No, I hate it.
My kids love you, Brooke. yeah, it was a no to the painting, but a yes to her. She seems nice.
She seems very nice.
She's beautiful.
Next, we had Conrad, who had the Balanchika Wow Wow music coming out in a tradie outfit, and I'm not gonna lie, it did things.
Oh yeah.
I think he's the favorite for some people so far. I guess I kind of understand because I feel like while I haven't watched a Bachelor and Bachelorette closely, I feel like tradies are always winners because they're like fit, hot, cute.
They often
employed.
Go pretty far, but it's common that someone like him kind of gets like a vixen edit, like where it's like, will you be able to settle down? Like they usually get paired up against someone who's more like, as you said, wife material.
Yeah.
And it's like I can already envisage like a finale episode. And if Conrad is there at that point, it'll be like doing a side by side being like, you know, so-and-so is so... like, I have such amazing time and they're really ready to be at my stage of life. And then, but then there's Conrad and we have such great chemistry, but he's such a free spirit. Will I be able to tie him down? You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah, for sure.
And I like his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, his hair was good. And he was the one with the bench, right? So,
oh, the love seat.
You know, the love seat. So I love people who build me stuff. I would fall for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I was into men. But yeah, I feel like the whole love seed dilemma is obviously something we have to touch on. So,
yes.
You know, I love that drama.
Oh, it's so good. After Conrad, it did what I call the filler montage, where it just goes bang, 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 bang.
Oh
and it
my
just
God,
has
it
them
was violent. It was violent. I was like, give them a second.
I know.
Fuck me.
We had, I'm just going to read out their names in random order, but we had Ryan, Ritu, is it Tay or Tage?
Taj.
Yeah,
Taj. She was cute.
Yeah, she was cute. Her. And also First Nations.
Yeah,
I
read somewhere that there's 3 First Nations contestants in this season.
Oh.
No, 2 First Nations contestants and Brooke.
Brooke is First Nations.
She's not a contestant.
Oh. I mean, aren't we all the contestant
in
life?
Imagine if like she won because she loved herself, like a rom-com.
Well, that would be fitting given she was on the Honey Badger season where that's what he chose.
Yeah.
We have Ben, Matt. I just have Evil Girl, who I think her name is Jess.
Jess, they're really trying to push Jess as a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Jess. So.
Of course.
What? I like her. I like her vibe.
Yeah,
I like an evil bitch.
Yeah, you like someone like sort of making the men squirm. Mm-hmm. I like it too.
I feel like that is where Aurelia and I would slot into this. Because it's so fun to make fun of people and the things that they care about. Now, take that out of context. That's a mean thing to say. But and I stand by. But like, he really cared about that chair that he built. And she said, well, I don't.
Oh, she said, fuck your chair.
She said, I'll be here for a few weeks. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm getting my check. I'm getting good TV and I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yes.
What was her career?
Software sales executive.
Oh, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyone who works in sales is tough.
I was going to say, if she has some like title that's like, you know, influencer or something like that, I was like, she's 100% a mole. But maybe if she's got a legitimate career, then maybe she's just actually crazy, in which case,
I love
good
it.
On her.
I'm here
chaotic,
for it.
Good. Then there was Emily, Johan, Beck, Steve, and... then I think it ended on Jamie Lee, who we'll talk about.
Yes.
But I did want to say, I found it so funny that how little they tried to hide the filler edit this season. Like, it literally was like all the first entrances for like Holly, David, and Conrad and stuff, they gave them like a good, like, it felt like 3-4 minutes or something like that. And then it was just like literally like, hi, I'm Jess. Hi, I'm so and so. And it was just gone. And like at one point, one of them had, I think Emily had a Shetland pony.
Just I on saw the that. Fucking... She just had it by her side and they were like, Emily.
Yeah, she's like, I call it Elvis. And then it just moved on. I was like, what? Like,
and it was like, oh, what's the context? Is that your pony? Like,
yes. And she's apparently a vet receptionist. So I was like, is this like your pony or a pony from work that you've just brought with you?
Oh my God. I actually love that. I hope they don't end up together.
But like, can you imagine like being such a filler that even having a Shetland pony that called Elvis is not enough to get you fucking 5 seconds of screen time.
That is, yeah, that is bad editing on their part. Though.
Yeah. Even the Shetland pony isn't an icebreaker enough.
Yeah, I know.
She's like, a pony's my spirit animal.
It was also funny because one of the guys, I'm pretty sure he's the guy that got eliminated in this episode. I might not be right on that. But Johan, he had like, in his brief flyby, it had a shot of him holding like a, one of those like kind of foggy Tupperware containing like some kind of like slice that he'd made or something like that. And it's like, the editor's just been like, nah, we don't have time. We don't have time to, you know, like knowing the show, it was probably something like, this was my grandma's dying recipe. Yeah. And she wanted me to one day make it for my future wife and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, we don't have time.
That makes me sick.
Just throw it in the fucking bin. Yes. And then we get to someone that matters, Jamie Lee.
Wife material.
Yes. And who's bloody. a returning contestant from the Honey Badger season, and Brooke had a bit of a good vibe with her, I'm guessing. I didn't watch Honey Badger, so I don't know.
Neither, but I felt it. It was like running into someone you hooked up with and that you want to hook
in a
up
good
with
way?
Again. I feel like, I kind of think so. I feel like sometimes tension is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you have people just coming in, drawing your turtles.
Fake bitches.
Yeah. So I vibed them. I like that storyline as well of
it
like,
is a
oh,
good
we,
story.
We know each other. And like,
it would be a good success story for the franchise as well.
Yeah.
I can see producers frothing over it. Like, oh my God, we fucking did it. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
We made this happen. I
like her as well.
I like her too. Mm. I think she's cool. The only thing that has been swaying me maybe on Jamie Lee is the thought of, like, is she kind of like a serial reality TV person?
Sure. I mean, maybe.
But also, I don't blame her. I would want to go back.
Yeah. But I mean, aren't they all? I guess they're all like that. Like, you have to be a particular kind of person to go
on the
show.
Isn't Brooke too?
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. 100%. So I think we probably have missed people in that, but if we did, they weren't important.
When when does Matt come up? Matt is the guy who does the rap.
Oh, yes. He was one of the filler guys.
So that was the funniest and a real come to Jesus moment for me. When he came out and started rapping, I was like, I immediately wanted to run onto the street. But he saved it because correct me if I'm wrong, but he goes like, hey. I don't know why I'm doing this. I can't rap. And he's like, he had fear in his eyes. Like, the producers have really put me up to this. And like, he cowered out of it right at the end. I was like, hi, bro, go away on that.
Yeah. It was...
I like the sincerity behind it.
Yeah.
Like, it was cringe, but it was...
Endearing cringe.
Yeah.
I also found it so funny because I think he, like, one of the first things that he said was like, it was like, hey, Bachette or something like that. Like, he instead of saying bachelorette, he said Bachette. But like, I heard it as like bitch or something. Like, I was like, oh God, like a man coming out of a car bed, like, hey, bitch. And I was like, this is not the way to like begin your narrative.
Hey, bitch. You're going through.
Yeah. Oh God. And I loved as well how they showed us for all the fillers as well. The guy, it'll be like a guy and a girl in the limo waiting to come out. And that was the ultimate, like sledging from producers, because you just know that if any of these people were gonna make it to the end, we like, they would not want our first view of the contestant to be like them in the car with someone else, you know, just waiting, they'd want that nice music playing where they come out of the car. So it's just literally like, cool, you're literally just telling us these people are here for a short time.
Don't get used to them. Is that everyone? Have we gone through them all?
I feel like that's the important stuff.
I feel like those are all the people that matter. Anyone else, get the fuck out.
Yeah, get it. Have a bigger impression. Get a gimmick.
Yeah. Learn a trick.
You mentioned it before we started, and we sort of skipped over it, but we should have begun with the call to country at the start of the episode.
Yeah.
And, like, the inclusion of Brooke's Indigenous like background. I really liked that.
I really felt like I got to know her through that and like kind of make her even more likable and more like, yeah, I don't, like I said, I haven't really watched it much, but when I have watched it, I've not liked a lot of people.
Yeah.
And with her, I feel like she's the whole package, really.
She's perfect for this kind of show.
Yeah.
It made me, well, of course I was like, well, this should be at the start of every, like, Bachelor and Bachelorette in the future as well. And it kind of like, it was just a really beautiful moment, and it was like a nice sense of peace. And you could see how it really affected Brooke as well, and how all of those people there, the elders and Brooke and, Osha as well. Osha was there. It was a huge moment. I mean, if you watch ABC and SBS, that shit's like dime a dozen. But like, on primetime TV, on the biggest reality show in Australia, like, we took 5 to 10 minutes. Doesn't sound like much when I really say it, but it was like a moment in time for a welcome to country. And yeah, I agree. It was like, you just really fucking rooted for Brooke, and I just think that it should happen way more often.
Yeah. And I would like to say as well, I reckon that's why a lot of boomer demographic opted out, because they're racist and they can't handle 5 to 10 minutes of acknowledging anything that's like slightly against them.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
100%. I think as well, it was a nice reminder, because there's been so much discussion about, like, it's the first queer installment of this franchise around the world, which is really significant. Like, even though we obviously have great problems with a lot of this show, it is pushing an important change on mainstream television. But it's also, she's the first Indigenous.
Yeah.
Like, a Bachelor or Bachelorette in any franchise as well. So it is a very, it's great to see her taking that role and them treating it with some respect. But yeah, I agree with what you said, Jordan. It'll be interesting to see in, like, you know, the next season, will they keep something like that up as a, or is it just going to be out as soon as it's done with?
I reckon it's going to be out, but, you know, that's just me being sarcastic and pessimistic and jaded.
Yeah. But also kind of realistic, unfortunately. Yeah.
Like, TV would lie to us.
Yeah, especially never. With the ratings drop. You know. But it was cool. Yeah.
Should we talk about the cocktail party after a quick break?
Yes.
Sounds good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Awesome. So what did you guys think of the cocktail party when they all got to, like, finally, like, meet each other and hang out?
I hope they were drunk. If I was there, I would be drinking.
Yeah. I definitely got, like, a slightly awkward vibe. And also kind of, like, because it is mixed gender, the guys and girls sort of talking to each other. I don't know. Like, yeah, I felt like there were some connections made outside of just Brooke and all the contestants.
Definitely.
Yeah. Which is spicy and nice, and I think that's exactly what they need to keep those ratings up.
Yeah. I thought it was nice when... I've just gone blank. Is it Taj? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
When Taj sort of was kind of like wingmanning Conrad and being like, let me help you cushion up your love seat. Like, yeah. You can't just have her sitting on a fucking piece of wood. Like,
yeah.
I was like, good on you, yeah. Queer women. Like, yeah. Saviors of, like...
Straight man.
Decor.
Of decor, of like structural integrity, of built items, all of it.
I got very annoyed, well, not annoyed, but kind of anxious during the cocktail party based on like the gender stuff as well. It became very like, oh, the boys, oh, the girls. And be like, oh, the girls just know how to talk to girls. And I was like, I kind of hate it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was so, which is not surprising, but it was just so binary. And then it became like boys versus girls.
They were sitting at different tables at one point.
I was like, what?
Mm.
Yeah. I just feel like it was a missed opportunity. They could have really had some gender disparity throughout the group as well, but it was just become quite a, even the way that Osher talks about it, being like, gentlemen and ladies.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And there, I wrote it down when I was watching it because I was gobsmacked that there was at least four encounters where someone in a confessional would say, this is the first time we've had males and females on the same season. I was like, why are you saying males and females?
Yeah, I really
rather
hate
than
those
men
terms.
And women. Yes. Or just like, and like they, yeah.
Like, just, are we at the zoo? Like, what's happening?
Truly.
Yeah. Did you see that video today of that, like, she's like an ape, I think. And it's like, she's like in estrus and she's like shaking her ass.
I have not seen that, but oh that's funny.
It's fucking hysterical. But, like, the male gorilla or ape or whatever they are is, like, not feeling it, not vibing with it. And everyone's just, like sharing it and, like, commenting on it being like, oh, my God, this was embarrassing for her. Oh. She's
cringe.
Down bad.
She's, like, rubbing her ass against the window. Yeah, like, yeah.
Like, they're like, at least do a body roll or something, girl. Like, this is nothing.
Oh, my God.
I can't remember what made me think of that. But back to the...
The Bachelorette. The that's what made
the
me think of it.
Whole show. Yeah, to be honest, like, even thinking back on the cocktail party outside of the love seat dilemma, there's not a lot of takeaway points for me.
It was a bit of a...
It's like a bit nuts.
Slow first episode.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Johan or one of the Milquetoast guys... got eliminated.
Milk
no
toast.
One really gave a shit.
How yeah. dare you? I yeah. like milk toast.
But in episode two, we had even more cringe moments with the group photo shoots.
Oh.
I love that they picked like the major holiday theme because that kind of makes it easy, I guess. Mm. But then I realized it was all to promote something.
Yeah.
And I was like, my mind was blown. I didn't
even
know.
Is it Women's Day or something like that?
Yeah. I think it's like just one of those trashy magazines.
Yeah.
Also, the holidays were not all equal. Like, what the hell? The
Welcome to the Bachelorette.
The Valentine's Day one was really cute where they kind of had like, you know, the red and white outfits.
Mm.
I liked that the girl in the Valentine's Day shoot was wearing a suit because there was a lot of, like, cocktail dresses, which
yeah.
is,
yes.
you know, just seemed a bit, you know, straight.
Yeah.
Well,
should we
yeah.
talk about that?
Not
the lack
pant.
Of butch representation.
Yeah, I mean, someone on Twitter was like, it just felt like the girls in the show were dressing for the male gaze much like every other season.
Mm.
And I think we were all kind of hopeful that there'd be like some strapping young barista like strolling in with their like sleeve and,
yeah.
and like Ruby Rose inspired hair. I would not be angry if Ruby Rose herself showed up with her, you know, soft butch aesthetic. Like, please. But it was... I don't know, I guess beggars can't be choosers, but we really just got ball gowns. And I was like, that's not really...
No, I don't think that's unreasonable to want Ruby Rose herself on this season of Bachelorette.
But didn't Ruby Rose herself get cancelled for being problematic?
Oh, I don't like Ruby Rose, and I will go on record, and I have no idea what she did to be problematic. This is based on vibe and vibe alone.
Yeah, it was... I also think, like, I will hopefully, like... give them credit at least that I know that they all get dressed by like a professional team. So like there's like, I know that there's like just hundreds and hundreds of dresses that they keep at the like mansion, and they just cycle through them for the cocktail parties. So like there's a team that's putting them in particular outfits. So it might be production that is pushing this very, very femme lipstick lesbian kind of energy. But I wouldn't put it past them only to cast women that appeal to a sort of, you know, heteronormative vibe.
Well, I like that Conrad went all the way in that date. You know, he liked it a lot to stand out. So that's working in his favor. And I think that's another reason why he's already pined as the favorite to win.
Well, he was literally like, I want kids. I want fucking kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, why is that something that makes women wet? You know, like...
You tell me, because I didn't find that very wet-worthy. I was like, what?
Yeah, I feel like they're saying it as like, oh, I'm husband material because I want kids. And I'm like,
I think we are grasping at straws for attractiveness to men. And I think that the common misconception that that a lot of cis heterosexual men have is that women are attracted to like masculinity and testosterone, and that's actually like through the male gaze. Like, I'm like, you know, I don't know many people who are like losing their minds over like John Cena or something like that. You know what I mean? Or like even Thor, like everybody loves Chris Hemsworth, don't get me wrong, but like even like Thor, the character and the way he bulks up compared to someone like Timothy Chalamet or like Harry Styles in a dress on the front cover of Vogue, the amount of men who were like, but you would not find this attractive if this wasn't Harry Styles. Like, no, actually, like, femininity and sensitivity is probably the thing that I'm seeking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Definitely. So, I think the casting could have been greatly improved, but we will take what we can get for now.
And we are not yet the producers.
Yeah.
Not yet. We'd be great.
In the Halloween date as well, the guy who was a pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
I felt so sorry for him. What was his name?
May he rest in
peace. Matt. Poor Matt was
They do
pumpkin.
That every year. They always give someone in the photo shoot, like, a costumey role. But sometimes that can be a good thing. Like, I remember in... don't even fucking remember. Was it Sophie Monk? I can't even fucking remember. It was in one of the seasons of Bachelorette, one of the guys who got the dud role, I think he had to like have like complete, I think he was like a Smurf or something like that. And he had like blue body paint. But like he was like, I think he made it to the very end and was like one of the final two because she was like, I find him so funny and he's so like out of the box.
Yeah.
That kind
little,
of thing.
Little Smurf.
So sometimes it can kind of go the opposite way where it's like, I love that you didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
And of course, there was a pool scene with a lifesaver.
Yeah.
In that, what struck me the most there, I think, is when she was posing with the other girl in that scene. It just seemed like girlfriends at the beach.
Yeah.
And like, it just was like both of them were like posing for the camera, but like not really. I didn't feel anything between them.
Oh yeah, when her and Jamie had like the ball and were like.
Yeah. It's like, we love sharing.
Yeah. It was intensely awkward.
I did like this challenge to sort of harken back to the America's Next Top Model days, you know, as well. This is your best shot.
Make it count. Make it fucking count. It was also nice as well that Conrad kind of got his revenge for the love seat debacle.
Yeah, I agree. That was a nice moment.
So what did you guys think about the whole love seat thing? Was that a dog move, as they kept calling it? Or a dog act?
Oh, it's a competition. It's a competition, okay? Yeah. You need it. What?
Yes.
What? Would I
yes.
do it? Maybe. Probably.
You have to treat The Bachelor and The Bachelorette like you would Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is it a dog act? I'm a bitch.
I thought it was, like, I thought it was heinous. I was like, but only because I was like, he seems to be legitimately upset.
Oh, he was very upset about it.
Well, I love it when men are upset.
Yeah.
That's my kink. Oh my God, you're upset, you're going to cry? Yes.
Yes, please.
But I did find the whole thing very, like the whole, like, making the bench and being like, but we don't get to sit on it, you've got to come and, like, find me later in the party to do it. It's like, don't try and trap her.
Yeah.
Like, don't, like, already begin with some kind of, like, gun to her head. Like, you won't get to fucking sit on this bench until you ask me on a single date. It's like, whoa.
Spooky. Just, like, in the corner. I don't know what they were doing, but they did not light it correctly. I wouldn't go to that seat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, it had bad vibes.
It was spooky.
Someone needed to sage it.
Yeah.
My favorite moment of those dates was the one with Holly. I liked that they gave her the New Year's Eve theme, so they kind of got to replicate that slow dance from the start.
Yeah.
Fireworks going off. I'm really sad she didn't kiss her.
She should have.
She should have, in my opinion.
But I'm worried that's going to be her story, if that makes sense. That, like,
the one who got away.
Yeah, or like that we couldn't get the chemistry right. Kind of thing. Like, we both like each other, but we're too tentative or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas Jamie Lee
just went
kissed
for
her. We should talk about that in episode one.
Brooke kissed Jamie Lee, if I recall correctly. Like, I mean, they both took part, but Brooke was the one who was like, come here.
Yeah, yeah. That's an ep one kiss as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was hot. That was great.
I'm going to say, like, this might be completely wrong. Bachelor fans come and
attack us
if I'm wrong, but I feel like that might be one of the earliest kisses in the franchise, like, because that was on night one.
Yeah,
like, they've just got there, it's probably 7 p.m and this kiss happened at 9 p.m
Lesbian kisses on TV at 7 p.m
Yeah,
this is what we're living for.
Yeah, it was really nice. And good, kind of like the opposite to Holly, to just begin on a sexual, romantic level.
Yeah.
Rather than that whole, like, stereotype of, like, it's just female friendship. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a reminder. This is a queer, like, these women are not just, you know,
we're not just friends.
Yeah.
Hug and
I'm
live
here
together.
To date and love and sex Brooke.
Yeah.
It also made me laugh because the show was on at 7 p.m., but I looked at the time when that kiss happened, and it was just past 9. And I was like, okay, censorship.
They knew what they were doing. Yeah, it's like when you were a kid and you'd stay up late and watch TV, and then, like, after, like, 11, all the, like, kinky ads would start playing.
You're like,
oh, I'm in, like, dark TV now.
What did you think of the date she had with David?
The solo date.
The solo date.
First of all, absolutely not.
Yeah. Hell no. You could not pay me.
No.
What? You wouldn't sit on the cliffside with...
No. I feel like you'd do it just for lunch. Like,
I'm into it. Yeah, I was 100%. Like, this is dope. That's... I'm like, I always wanted to do this. The Seven Sisters? What the hell is this going on my Instagram?
You'd be lowering down my, like, fainted body on the rope. Like, Charlie, are you with us? Fuck no. And, like, they were sitting on just, like, it looked like a little bit of, like, flimsy, like, garden tarp or something like that. Like, it did not seem structurally sound.
Mm-mm.
They needed Taj to come in and fix that shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, I liked it. I liked the sort of riskiness and the sort of, I guess, seeing whether the person you're with is risk-averse or not.
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing to know.
I'm risk averse.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, someone who's, like, down for anything.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I guess the way that you handle it would be very, like, revealing.
Yeah.
I would just be like, kindly, just take somebody else. I will, I just...
Take me to the beach date. Something like that.
Take me to the river. Drown me in the water.
Just shoot me on sight.
I mainly want to be in a helicopter.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Oh, yeah, they got to go in the helicopter. That's right.
Yeah. Got a lot of representation in the show. Helicopters get a lot.
Yeah. Whenever I see those, like, sort of daredevil dates that they always do on this series, I always think of this study that I read about when I was at uni about people who have a traumatic or scary experience where, like, it was, like, near death or there was danger involved are, like, hugely more likely to fall in love. Like, there was this study done where they took couples across a rickety bridge in pairs sort of thing and then asked them how they felt about each other.
It was done by donkeys. Yes.
And, like, but they had asked these people who didn't know each other long before they went on this exercise to, like, rate the attractiveness of particular people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, they just found that, and I feel like a producer got hold of that study and was like, we just need to take them and make them think they're gonna die.
Yes.
And we will create a real love story.
And it worked.
Yeah, and it worked because I'm fallen for David on Brooke's behalf.
Beautiful. And also, David and Brooke gave us arguably the gayest moment in the TV show when they wouldn't kiss, but they were just like in each other's face and were just like taking in each other. I was like, yeah, you're gay.
I'm really liking him, but at the second cocktail party, there was a bit of drama with the whole, like, those of us who didn't get to go on the group date are going to have first pick of going and having time with Brooke, and that's our code. And then David didn't honour that code. And then was it Emily that was like, I thought we were mates, mate.
Yeah, I think again, it's a competition. You got to take every chance you get. You got to get in that, you know, that
I agree.
One-on-one time. And then some more one-on-one time. And then let the other bitches come in. But, you know, you're already on her mind as somebody who's willing to take a claim on you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who do we, if we each had to predict a top four, the take-home dates, who would you predict?
All right, let me look at those faces again.
I think it's the four that had, I think they'll do like two and two for guys and girls. I reckon producers will be insistent on that.
Oh, God. Do you reckon the finale will be between a guy and a girl?
It has to be. It has to be.
Like, what if I fear, and let me air this out because I could be wrong. I fear what would happen if it was between a guy and a girl and she chose a guy. I fear the
backlash.
Well, just the discussion in media and, like, you know, the boomers who switched off and then turned back on for the final episode, or just people who are kind of close-minded about that stuff anyway would be like, oh, well, all of that is kind of frivolous because all she wants for long-term is a dude.
It would perpetuate this idea of, like, bisexual people being like a phase, and that, like, you will eventually go for the comfortable, safe option of heteronormativity.
Which is also bullshit, because it wouldn't be bad if Brooke chose to be with a man. That's what being bi is.
I'm with you though. It's going to be hard to not think of the optics if the final two is a guy and a girl. But having said that, it 100% will be.
I think it's David, Conrad, Holly, and
Jamie Lee.
100%.
Nice. I agree. I swap you a Holly for a Beck. I think she's a dark horse.
Who the hell is Beck?
Oh my God, I like Beck. She's so cute.
She's just really nice. I think that she'll come through and she'll be in the top four. Yes, she will go home afterwards.
Oh, I do like her.
She has kind of a husky voice.
She's queer as fuck. Maybe
it is the Butchelorette after all.
The Butchelorette. yes. So I think I'm going for, oh God, what's her name? Jess?
Beck.
You don't even know her name.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, she's going to be in there.
Now, I got faith in Beck.
Yeah.
I got faith in Beck.
I'm here for Isla Fisher. What's her name? Sexy redhead. Who do we think, I mean, Jess has already kind of got the villain edit currently, and we love that. I think his name, I'm looking it up, Kurt, the, like, tall, vanilla-looking swimmer guy.
I
feel like a brewing
villanelle edit
for old Kurt. That's just a little hunch I have. Or maybe Ryan, the plumber, the, like... He seems like he'd be the most likely. I didn't get, like, necessarily a homophobic vibe from him, but I got the vibe of him being, like, not fully being able to, like, talk to women.
Yeah, totally.
And him being, like, bros and then
bros
the girls.
Bros over hoes.
Yeah, and that kind of shit. I was like, I'm hoping that I'm wrong, but I could
see
that.
Your bros can be your hoes.
Yeah.
Not your brothers. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I'm excited. I think that this is exciting to watch. It's fun. I'm glad that the little brigade of watch bring a pony is over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that was too much for me to handle. I'm not a kind person.
Yeah. And get that animal off my runway. And take your little Shetland pony with you.
Yes. I, for one, am excited to watch the full first season of any of the Bachelorette franchise.
Yeah, what a one to start with,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
They've all been trash. And this will probably be trash too, but at least it's gay trash.
Yes, exactly.
Amen.
Can I ask, actually, we'll go for a quick break and then we'll come back and then I want to ask you guys one quick question.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What? Okay, so I've been thinking, like, there's a lot of all the women, or a lot of the women on the, when they were meeting Brooke, would just started immediately complimenting each other, and there was that like back and forth of being like, oh my god, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful, like
your they skin were, is so soft.
Yeah, yeah, the, yeah, girls, yeah, yeah. The girls were just going for it in terms
your
of being tight. Like. Legit though, it felt like, I don't know if this is just like my lack of being a woman dating women, but I was like, wow, there is a lot of compliments.
And it is a lack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that common? And because the guys didn't do that.
Well, I think it's common, particularly amongst women who really care about the way that they dress. If you really put a lot of effort, if you have a knowledge of how much effort you've put into your own hair and makeup and outfit, and then you see somebody else matching that effort, you compliment them.
Yes.
And also, it's a nice thing to do. I feel like, yeah, I think that's also when it can get funny when you get into like friend area and stuff as well, and that's when it can get confusing, but people just do that.
Yeah, I think it's normal, and I think it, I definitely think when I go on dates, I give a few compliments.
It was nice. I found throughout. It very refreshing to see.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like there's also like a thing of, I don't know if it's our bias of reading it as, oh, it's being like girls in the club bathroom, or if it's just, you know, a normal flirtiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was great to see. I loved it. And it was sort of amplified in the cocktail parties. We sort of touched on it before, but how the boys and the girls kind of separated. But also, the girls were so much more gung-ho in terms of going up to Brooke and chatting with her.
Mm.
And in episode one, it was like, all the women in order went and then the men went up and none of the men were confident enough or like didn't want to like break that. And it kind of brought up like feelings in me of like, is this some kind of like chivalry or like, is this some sort of like, I don't want to be the guy that like sort of like pushed in front of a woman, you know, like, because at the end of the day, they are all here for Brooke and Brooke alone. And so in the same way that like when David, you know, cut the queue, so to speak, to hang out with her, it's like, well, yeah, so everyone should be doing that. It shouldn't matter if you're a man or a woman in this respect. It should just be about hanging out with Brooke. But I did find it interesting that when left to their own devices, it ended up being all the women, then all the men. And like, why do you reckon that might have been?
It might be just early in the season.
Mm.
Nervousness, a little bit of what you were saying.
Yeah,
mix of everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so. I think it's a mix of all of it. I think it's probably, and also like we follow a crowd. If one person suddenly lets all the girls in, then you'll be like, oh, I don't want to suddenly be the guy who's stepping in front. I'll just let them go and yada yada. And but then I think that's going to turn very quickly once they get to know each other.
True.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And as more and more of them start to split off and be like, no, I'm here for Brooke, it will
be a
bit more like that. But yeah, I did find it interesting that it maybe because they're queer women, they had a bit more like, sort of like, oh, I can make my own rules about this. You know what I mean? Because they're not following the heteronormative vibe. Like, because often the idea of the bro code is a thing that gets spoken about all the time in the Bachelorette season.
Yeah.
But this time it's like, no, it's like, it's not about that. It's just about,
yeah,
go hang out with Brooke because you wanna.
Yeah. Also, fuck the bro code.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. It's a game.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the fuck the bro
code. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's different. Fuck your bros. They are your hoes.
Yeah. So overall, I loved it. I'm excited for a good season.
I'm excited to watch the next couple episodes.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Tune in next week for more of The Bachelorette, guys.
The popcorn specials.
Yay.
Yum, yum.